This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Amen. I'm just going to wait for Bill to give that out to everyone, and then we're going to pray. Amen. Amen. We'll refer to that as we go on today. Amen. Amen. I'm sure that's going to be a useful tool for many of us. In one way or the other. Amen. Amen. I want to say a big thank you to Brother Chooks because he helped me out with that. Amen. And got many copies printed as well. Amen. Amen. Okay. I think everyone's got one. Okay. There are no spare copies. Yeah? Has everybody got one? Everybody's got one? Okay, that's fine. As long as everybody's got one. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for what you have done so far. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to be able to come into your house. Father, we are so grateful to you. Thank you for your protection in bringing us here tonight. And Father, even as we come to the time of your word, Holy Spirit, you are our teacher, you are our counselor. We ask of you tonight that, Lord, you will come and teach us and you will come and counsel us. We pray that the wisdom of God will be released into our hearts and that, Lord, your grace will be upon our lives to apply that which we receive tonight in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, this will just be empty words. Without you, this will just be another teaching or another sermon. But Father, we pray by your Spirit that you will come and breath the breath of life upon your word right now and cause it to prosper in our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we do not want to only be hearers, but we want to be doers. Father God, we pray the grace of God upon our lives to actually do that which we hear tonight in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will take absolute control. Take absolute control, Lord, because except you build a house, we the laborers, we labor, but in vain. Father, have your way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I hope you've been gaining something out of the teachings we've been doing for a few weeks. We're still looking at the area of finance and debt, so don't grow weary. We just want to cover as much as we are able to cover in the time that we have on a Wednesday. And I know we're going to be moving on to another topic very soon, but right now we're still looking at the area of finance and debt. Last week, I began to speak on how to get out of debt. And I'm just going to do a quick recap on the point that I mentioned last week. How do we get out of debt? And the first point that I mentioned last week was the fact that we should not ignore the problem. I said, do not ignore the problem. Do not ignore your debt. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that we have to bear in mind when we decide or desire to get out of debt. We have to face the problem. And the second thing that I said was, start by going to God in prayer. Acknowledge your wrong, ask God for forgiveness, and engage in repentance. And I said, a number of things that we might need to repent of, okay, as we seek to get out of debt. That was number two. Number three, I said, be determined in your heart to get out of debt. Make a decision of your own will that you are coming out of debt. Okay, for anyone that has ever gotten out of debt, I believe it's because they were determined in their heart and they made a decision of their own will, I am coming out of debt. It's just like any other, it's when, it's, it's the same thing when you decide, I want to break this habit. You know, I want to break the habit of smoking or whatever it is. It has to be a decision of your own will. Nobody can force it upon you. Okay, number four, I said, take this decision of your will to God in prayer and ask Him to help you. Ask Him to pour forth His grace and wisdom that will help you to indeed come out of debt. So it's one thing to make a decision of your will, but it's another thing for you to have God's help and God's grace to help you to carry out that decision that you have made. Okay, so we need to take the decision to God in prayer. And then the fifth thing, which was where... Okay, yes, we got up to the fifth thing. The fifth thing was develop a budget that will include your income and expenditure. Your expenditure are your expenses, okay, each month. Having a budget helps give an accurate picture of your financial situation. And that's why you've got what you've got in your hands, okay? Many people already have a budget that they use on a monthly basis or a weekly basis. But this is something that you can use. This is something that you can work with if you don't already have something to. And you will be surprised. A lot of people don't have budgets. A lot of people don't. I talk to a lot of people and a lot of people don't. A lot of people basically just look at what's in their account and feel there's still money in there, I can still spend. When money finishes, then I'll stop spending. You know, a person like that is most likely to be in debt, you know, and constantly as well, okay? Even though their desire might be to come out of debt, okay? So, like I said, having a budget helps give you an accurate picture of your financial situation. It helps to make your money go further. It helps you to impose control over your spending. When you have a budget, for example, what you've got in front of you, you see there that it's got, I better look at one as well. You can see there that it's got income. It's got section A, income, okay? And there it basically lists what comes in for you. Okay, so if you have a salary, then income that comes in through your salary. If you have, you know, a property that you're renting out, rental income. If you have dividends from, you know, investments, okay, money that comes in through that. If you're on any kind of benefits, you know. So that's something to work with to help you to determine what comes in for me on a regular basis. Okay, like I was saying, last week, it's not the things that we are projecting are going to come in or the bonus that we're waiting for that's coming in next year. We're talking about what's coming in regularly now, okay? And then, you see, it's always amazing. Just looking at it now, you know, I just noticed the income, you know, section A is about 6-7 lines, you know, but the expenditure is like, well, we can't even count it, you see, and it just shows that there's a lot that takes our money away, okay? But like I said, Brother Chooks has been really kind to go into as much, break this down and go into many things. Some things will not apply to you, but there will be a lot that applies to you. In this, but this helps you to know this is what's coming in and this is what I need to be paying out, or this is what I'm currently paying out. Okay. It also prevents you running up a substantial debt. If you already know what's coming in and you know that you have to pay all these things, then, you know, it's only a person that's not wise that will then decide, okay, I'm still going to get into unnecessary debt. Okay, because you have it in front of you, you're looking at it, it's facing you, and therefore that person will be really unwise to still get into unnecessary debt after having this in front of them. It also helps prevent financial stresses within the family. You know, like I was saying last week, financial problems is a major cause of stress in the home, of problems in the home, of division between husband and wife. Okay, and we want to avoid that. When you do a budget, be absolutely honest. And what I'm going to encourage everyone to do, even if you have a budget, if you already have, you know, there are some people that do this on the computer. There are different packages. Some people do it monthly. They're very, very, you know, organized. I'm very, very old-fashioned. So I've got this tattered book here, and this has been going for a number of years. And this is my budget. This is our budget book. Not my budget, our budget book, you know. And, you know, everything is in here, you know. And, you know, you might be like me and you have to still write it down, but do something. Go through this. Just go home and go through this. And at least it will give you an idea of where you are at, okay? We need to start somewhere, okay? And then you can then devise what you're going to be using on a monthly basis. So that was number five. Number six, I said, list all your debts. List all your debts. Every single one of your debts. Don't leave anyone out, whether small or big. It doesn't matter. You know, some people don't classify the overdraft as a debt. But the overdraft is a debt because it still has to be paid back. Okay, so that has to be listed as well. The overdraft, the loans, the credit cards, you know, you owe someone, something is still outstanding that needs to be paid off. List everything, okay? Because it's only when you list everything that you know the dimension or the degree of the problem, and you then can begin to make plans to tackle the problem. And I said last week, I said, based on how much and how many debts there are, determine how long you want to give yourself to paying them off. Obviously, based on how many you have and, you know, your income. And you would have already done your budget so that you know where you can cut down and also maybe where you can save, or maybe there's still a little bit that you can use to start paying off debts. Okay, so we'll keep coming back to the budget thing. Once you have devised the plan, make concrete arrangements to start paying them off. Like I said last week, I said start with those that attract the highest amount of interest and try and pay those off first. And don't guess. Bring out the papers. You know, get the papers out. Look at what interest you are paying. If you don't know, ring up the company. Okay, and find out. Don't guess. Don't think, oh, this one, I think I'm paying. You know, sometimes, and you know, you might, Word of Life people, you might just be wonderful people and you might not be like that. But there are people that are, you know, that are paying debt off, or they have debt and they haven't got even a clue of what interest they are paying on a particular debt. So you might be really organized and you know, but, you know, I'm just saying here, if you're going to start paying them off, start paying those ones that have high interest off, and try and pay those off first. I said here, for instance, use as much money as possible to get rid of your credit card debt, and especially any store card debts, because they tend to attract high interest. Okay. So, and the scriptures for that were Proverbs 3:27-28 and Psalm 37-31. Proverbs 3:27-28 and Psalm 37-21. I'm not going to read them now. You can read them. I'm just going to move on swiftly. Okay. So that was number six. Number seven. And remember, we're still talking about how to get out of debt. Okay. If you're going to start paying off your debt, obviously it will mean that you have to cut down and avoid unnecessary spending and wastage, so that you can stick to your plan. Because now you're making a plan. I want to begin to pay this money off. I want to begin to tackle this debt. You are going to have to cut down. That's the reality. Every one of us, anyone who's ever tackled debt, has had to cut down. You'll have to look through that budget and see, what can I cut down? What can I... I'll give you examples. Years ago, we used to have subscriptions. You know, there used to be this, I don't know anybody who remembers Word Nelson and Premier magazine. And what you could do is you had this, you know, you got their magazines every month and you could just order whatever Christian tapes, DVDs, whatever, you know, and I know a lot of people. And it was just things like that, that, you know, we had. And so every month, you will obviously see something that you like. Some, in those days, it was videos, not DVDs. You'll see a video or whatever that you like. And yeah, fair enough, they were good, they were a blessing. But then, you know, it was something that we did every month. And those were the kind of things when we began to do our budget and we began to say we really want to go there. Those were some of the things that went out of the window because they were luxuries, okay? Because we need to differentiate between a need and a luxury, okay? That's just an example. Those are some of the things that had to go out. We had to say this wasn't necessary. At one time, there was a time that somebody... did a subscription for me for a woman's magazine, really wonderful Christian woman's magazine. It's called Today's Christian Woman. Really, really, you know, and I really love the magazines. But it got to us, and then what happened is that I then took on the subscription after that, and, you know, it was like £35 or something like that. And, you know, and it all adds up, you know. And then eventually I had to say, this is a luxury. I don't have to have it. I can cut down this way. And then you cut down that way. So those, you know, I'm just giving simple examples. But you will look to, you have to be, let me say it this way. You have to be hard on yourself. You really have to be hard. When you want to cut down, you have to be hard. And, you know, nobody needs to know. You don't have to discuss it. It's something between you and your God. But you have to be tough on yourself if you want to cut down. And you will see so many things. Even just looking at this, I can see things, you know, that one can, you know. Some people say, oh, you know, I must have Sky. You know, I must have Sky. You know, I must have, and I must have, you know, 3 gigabytes, whatever, internet connection, and, you know, because it's too slow and whatever. But we need to just look at those things again and say, do I really need this? Because for some of them, we're paying maybe $24.99 every month. You're paying the... Some people, I know people that have like 3 mobiles, you know. They have 3 mobiles. I'm not meaning to speak. If I'm speaking to you, I'm not meaning to. But, you know, this... But all this, it all adds up. And always remember, it's God's money. It's God's money, you know. And some people say, oh, you know, I need this one. My children get me on this one. And this person gets me on that one. And when you add it all up, it all comes together. And we need to really... really avoid, cut down. We need to cut down. I'll give you another example, and for some people, it might be happening to them. A few years ago, all the banks are going down that line at the moment where basically they're wanting us to get to that stage where we pay for our current accounts, okay? And what they're doing is, you know, now when you ring up, if you do telephone banking, they offer you these things over the phone. But what used to happen to us, and I can only give our examples, is that years ago they introduced, we bank with Barclays, and they introduced this thing called Barclays Additions. And basically, when it started, you just pay £5 a month, okay? And we're talking 2 current accounts here. You pay £5 a month, and they were offering, or you get your will done. Okay, so if you want your will to be written, you get something else, just a few things anyway. But we were interested in the wills at the time. So we got our wills done, you know, and, you know, that was that. But then we were paying for it. And then one day, just going through the statements, what happened, actually, that wasn't how it happened. What happened is that every few months, then it will go up. Then it went up from £5 to £6. And then £6 to £7. And this was 2 current accounts. And one day I just sat down. And, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but I like calculating things. And then I just started calculating. And I thought, £6 times 12 is 72. Yeah, am I right? £72. Times 2, 144. For what? For what? And exactly. And that's in 1 year. And we did have these Barclays additions for probably about 4 or 5 years. So you can imagine what Barclays made, You know, and even till today, when we ring, oh, madam, we've noticed that da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, will you like this, and you can get this, and you can get that, and I'm like, no, don't worry, we don't need it. So for some people, you might not even know. You know, I think there's been a charge against one particular bank where they're kind of actually forcing it on people without them knowing, and they're charging them and they're taking it out of their statement. And that's why I always encourage people, check your bank statements. Check them. And there might be people here, you might not be banking with Barclays, but other banks are doing it, because apparently they want us to get to a stage where we start paying for running our current accounts with them. So it's just, you know, I use that example. So already in maybe 5 years or whatever, I don't know how many years we added, lost that, you know. So just small things like that. So cutting down means you will have to take your eyes off the things you want to buy, if you can still do without them for now, okay? It means really just sticking to needs. You see, when you want to get out of debt, you need to stick to needs, okay, and leave the wants. That's not saying God doesn't want you to have the wants or the luxuries, but for now, you're going to have to stick to just the needs, the essentials, okay, because you're going on this path, you're being ruthless with yourself because you have a goal. You have a goal. You want to become debt-free. It's as simple as that. You know, when we want to pass an exam, when we want to achieve something, we study, we wake up in the night, we do what we need to do. You know, we go the extra mile to be able to get what we want. Okay. So the key is self-control and self-discipline. Saying no and sticking to your no. I'll give you another example. And this is, Pastor used to make jest of me because in those days, when the shops Aldi and Lidl came, you could not find me near them, because as far as I was concerned, forget it. You know, I'm like, no way. You know, I was a brand name person. It had to be brand name, okay. And even things like tomato plums, it was like no. And you know, and then we had our nieces. We had two nieces come and live with us. So there was six of us in the household then, and obviously they were like 15 and 16, and you know, really we had to feed them well. And I'm like, goodness. And every time the money allocated for food will not go, you know, it won't cover what it needed to cover. And Pastor would say, don't you think we can, let's just, it's just plum, you're just going to ground it and use it for, let's buy it. And I'm like, no. And when we embarked on this journey of getting out of debt, those were some of the lessons that I had to learn. I had to learn. And also, it wasn't even a lesson. It was just God dealing with my pride. It was just God dealing with the rubbish and the nonsense, you know. And now, I don't have any qualms about going to Aldi, going to Lidl, going to Netto or wherever, you know. I don't particularly like it, but, you know, if I have to. You know, but I'm giving those examples so that you know that if we really want to be, then we have to go down that line. You know, we have to. You know, you can't be high and mighty. You know, there are people, they are high and mighty with their debts, but the debts will remain. You know, it will just remain. You could be going high and mighty. You know, and that's what God was showing me, because like, no, brand name. If it's not brand name, I'm not buying it. Okay. Philippians 4:11-12 is the scripture. There, Philippians 4:11-12. Let me quickly read that. Philippians 4:11-12. It says, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And this is an attitude of heart that we are going to have, you know, in our quest to come out of debt. Okay. If Paul could have that attitude, then we also can do well to have that attitude. Okay. Okay. Number eight, don't get into any further debt, no matter how tempting. Don't get into any further debts. If you take on new debts, you'll find it extremely hard to get out of your existing ones. So what we want to do is to face the existing ones. We don't want to add any more. Okay? We don't want to add any more. And because if you do add any more, you'll probably go back to square one. Avoid the temptation to take out or increase your bank overdraft. Okay? Because there will be all that temptation. You're trying to get out of debt, but the enemy will still bombard you with the temptation to get into further debt. And he will lie to you like, okay, if you do this, then you can use that to be able to clear what is it. But you're not clearing anything. You're just getting further and further into debt. So avoid that temptation to increase your bank overdraft. Avoid finance company loans. Avoid them. Avoid them, avoid them. I remember a few years ago we wanted to buy a car, I think we had just started learning about reading the small prints, and we had gone and we had signed for this car, but they give you so many days, you know, for you to change your mind. And we were driving it home, and I wasn't too happy. You know, when you've done something and your spirit is not really comfortable with it, but you're just forcing yourself. And we were on our way, and I was reading this small print, you know, and it was just so horrible. And basically, what we found out was that, first of all, the car wasn't ours until we finished paying for it, and also while the car was ours, if anything happened to it, you know, the company could come and take it anytime. I can't remember all the details. Yes, we couldn't, this particular way, we couldn't insure it in our name. It had to be insured in the company's name. And basically, it was just like, they're leasing it to you. You just use it for, you know, it doesn't really belong to you, even though you've gone to sign and say you've bought this car. And immediately we just read trolley and we thought, no way. And we just drove back and we just took this. I think we got home and we phoned them and we said, we don't want it anymore. You know, we've still got these 21 days to change our mind. Can we bring it back? And that was how God delivered us. We escaped from that. Okay. So avoid finance companies. They're a big ripoff. They really are. And avoid their loans as well. Debt consolidation loans work for some people. But to be truthful, they're the minority. Because what happens with debt consolidation loans is, for example, let's say you have about six or different debts, and most of these companies will advise you and say, take out a debt consolidation loan and just use it, you know, because it's, the interest is not too high. Use it to pay off all the debts. And maybe if you even need anything, you want to change your kitchen or whatever, you can take a little bit extra, you know. And that's what they do. And you take out that money, and yes, the other debts are cleared, but then you've got this one debt now. And you know what it does? It's like a lure. What it does is that you then now, when you now look at your budget, because you're not paying so many debt off, you're only paying one more debt, it then gives you this false sense of now having more money to play around with. And most people then go in and get into debt again. That's what happens. Because it's like, oh, okay, I'm not paying 10 things now. I'm only paying one. This is extra money. Because you haven't really dealt with the root problem. Really, unless it's someone that really, really, really knows what they're doing. And, you know, I would say prayerfully, even if you're going to do it, it has to be prayerfully and led by the Spirit of God. But really, I would say don't do it, because it doesn't really work. Okay. Like I said, avoid the temptation of taking second mortgages, more credit cards. Just avoid the temptation in your quest to get. Leave all that to one side for now. Okay. Number 9, become a student of how money works. Become a student of how money works. Read and study books and materials that deal with money saving ideas, debt-free living, money management, and so on. You know, most people say, oh, those things are too complicated. I'm telling you, if I can read up on those things, anyone can read up on this thing. And there's so much basic material available now. Even on the internet, there are websites that are actually just there to help you, to give you advice, to give you tips. And it's important that we know how money works, because if we don't know how, then really, you know, the banks are just going to make a mincemeat out of us. If you know what they make per minute, it's mind-boggling. Okay, so we need to become students. Okay. Also, sometimes we'll need to get help and advice for our own particular situation. So it might be that you need to get real professional help and advice for your particular situation. There's a Christian organization, charity, that are dedicated to helping educate individuals and families in all aspects of money management in this country. And their name, they're called Credit Action. The Christian organization, and their website address is www.creditaction.org.uk. Okay, www.creditaction.org.uk. They even produce booklets and things like that that are so simple, even young people can read them. Okay. But like I said, you might have to get help for your particular situation, because there's some situations where you need professional advice. You might need to do that. But the thing is, please don't suffer alone. Okay. Number 10, meditate on scriptures that will motivate you to get out of debt. Okay. It's important to know scriptures that talk about, you know, being debt-free and getting out of debt, because those will motivate you. Those will encourage you to want to get out of debt. Some of them are Romans 13, verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Also, verse 12 to 13 of that same Deuteronomy 28. Philippians 4, 13. Psalm 24, verse 1. Okay. Psalm 24, verse 1. Okay. And as you meditate on these scriptures, keep thanking God that all your debts are being cleared, and they will all be cleared. You know, one thing that we used to do every morning, every time, every morning devotion, we'll say, thank you, Lord, because we're coming out of debt, we're staying out of debt, and we're no longer good. And we kept speaking that and praying that every day and thanking God. You know, is speaking those things that are not as though they are. Okay. Number 11, persevere, don't give up. Don't give up. It might take long and it will probably be agonizing and painful, but endure till you get out of debt. Okay. I will actually, you know, rephrase it and say it will be agonizing and painful. Okay. Don't let me say it might be. It will be. It will be. It will be painful. It will be agonizing. But if you persevere and you don't give up, you endure till you get out of debt. Okay. I'm just going to quickly finish up. Number 12, pay your tithes, offerings, and give as God commands you to. Don't eat your seed. Okay. That's very important. The Bible talks in Malachi, it says that it will rebuke the devourer for our sakes when we bring our tithes and our offerings into his storehouse. Malachi 3:10. Proverbs 3 verse 9 and Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. Okay. A lot of people are in debt because they don't pay their tithes and they don't give offerings as God gives them to. And that's the reality. That might be a hard saying, but that's the reality. Okay. Malachi 3:10, Proverbs 3:9 and Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. Okay. If you don't have a job and you do want to have a job, This is number 13 now. If you don't have a job, go to God and keep petitioning him until you get what you need, which is a job. Keep petitioning God, okay, and God will give you a job. But as soon as you start your job, start paying off your debts once you get that job. Start paying. You know, put your plan in place that when I get this job, this is what I'm going to start doing, okay? Also, number 14, if you are on a low income, go to God again and keep petitioning him until he gives you a better job. Okay. It took me 10 years. Okay. I was in my job for 10 years. And, you know, it was just petitioning God for a new. And then after a while, it was like, Lord, I don't think you're ready to answer me. But God, in the fullness of time, he did it. So God is faithful. You just keep petitioning him. You know, if you want to change your job, if you know, if it's your business, if you want to see a change, keep petitioning God. Okay? I pray it won't take you 10 years like it did me. Amen. When you get this better paid job, make arrangements to start paying off the debts. Okay? Some people give me job. Oh, Lord, I need a new job. But you know, sometimes many people, the reason why they want this, well, that's not the reason, but they get the higher paid job and they get themselves into more debt. You know, more money in our hands is not no license to get ourselves into more debt, but that's what most people do. That's when they decide to upgrade, you know. So sometimes God leaves the person in the same job so that they won't have the opportunity to upgrade and get into even worse debt, you know. So when you get this better pay job, make arrangements to start paying off the debts. Don't think about, you know, some people have planned for the money before it arrives. You know, they've planned for it before the job is even in their hands. You might also, and this I say carefully, you might also want to consider taking on extra work on a temporary basis. You might want to consider taking on extra work on a temporary, and I put emphasis on temporary, basis, specifically to help clear some debts. But my advice is to do this prayerfully after consulting with your family. Never do it without consulting with your family. If you're a man, consult with your wife. If you're, you know, consult with your family. Okay, it might be that happened to a friend of ours at one stage in our situation. Pastor Roland did that. Until one day the children said, oh, Dad, we don't see you weekends anymore. And he had to lay it down. Okay? But a friend of ours had to do that. This was in the days where it was a bit easier to do cabin. And he had to do that specifically for a period of time. And he specifically used that to clear debts. But this is not something to take on. You know, please don't say, oh, Sister Folake gave the go-ahead on that Wednesday. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that that might be an option, but you need to prayerfully consider that. And then finally, believe God for money supernaturally to pay off existing debts. When he provides it, use it to pay off the debts. God is able to provide supernaturally, okay? God is able to provide supernaturally. I actually believe that. And we've seen that happen. God is able to provide supernaturally. But God wants to know that you will use it for the purpose that it is meant for. Okay. God is able to do it. Because some debts, it's only God that can clear them supernaturally. So you need to ask him. I'm not saying yours is like that, but I'm just saying. You know, I don't mean it that. It's, you know, but, you know, believe God. You know, sometimes, you see, we will start doing something a little bit, and then as we pray, then God will come alongside us and then help us to finish it off. You know, but we need to start from somewhere. Okay. Next week, we're going to look at how to stay out of debt. How to stay out of debt. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have truly been blessed by this message, or if you would like any information, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.info@wol-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.